Reading from the Jiva Dharma, I think we're up to chapter 4. One second. I need to get my reading glasses.
Reading from chapter 4. Vaishnava Dharma is Nitya Dharma. Omigyana Timarandasya Yananjana Shavataya
Chaksur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapatantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyashta Kripashindu Bhayevacha Patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As soon as Lahari Mahasai heard this, he said, "You've awakened my faith in Nitya Dharma. It seems to me that there is a close connection between Nitya Dharma and Vaishnava Dharma. But so far I have not been able to understand how they are identical. There may be some newer people joining, so those who've been on for a while, please excuse me if I just give a short synopsis of Jiva Dharma. It's a story of people coming to Krishna consciousness, the generation after Lord Chaitanya and his grand disciples, who are now Paramahamsa Babaji's topmost devotees, are in foresty areas in the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, one island named Godrum Dweep, which is the island that represents Kirtan and has the potency to invoke the holy name of one's heart. It's actually very real that spiritual places have unique spiritual potencies to influence one, to get deeper in bhakti, in devotion. So they're there, and it's a story of various people coming to Krishna consciousness. And according to who they are, they require various doubts to be cleared. There's a materialist. He has one type of doubt to be cleared. There's a Mayavadi. He has one doubt to be cleared. There's a person who worships Shakti. They have another doubt. And in this way, the story of these people coming to Krishna consciousness systematically covers all the tattvas or truths of Krishna consciousness. If you understand this book, Jiva Dharma, you understand the science of Krishna consciousness. So right now in the story that we're up to, there's one impersonalist sannyasi who somehow comes, and we've read about his enlightenment, and now he becomes a humble Vaishnava. He takes initiation, and somehow he himself, his guru asked him to clear the doubts of this kind of Brahmin, very wealthy zamindar, landowner, who comes in their assembly. And he's from a very high Brahmin family, so he has a particular conception of spiritual life. Specifically, what is Nitya Dharma? Nitya Dharma, these two terms we've discussed, we can review them. Dharma means your duty, what you should be doing. And, you know, and your duty is based on the conception of the self. If you have, you know, the extent that you identify with the body, you have an occupational duty. To the extent you have you identify with the mind, that you have an intellectual duty, and ultimately the self. And then you have a spiritual duty. And the material duties are meant to, duty means an activity which we accept according to our circumstances, which purifies us and brings us closer to our eternal nature. So, the Brahmin, Lahari Mahasai, is, you know, he asked the question, what is the, you know, why do Vaishnavas sometimes not follow the, what he called the Nitya Dharma, the everyday duties of the Brahmins? And what he explained is very, very brilliant. That for something to be a Nitya Dharma, an eternal duty, it can't be based on circumstances. The duties of a Brahmin are based on the circumstances of their particular body. And therefore, they can't be Nitya Dharma, because those circumstances change, and then your duties change. So it's Naimittika Dharma, it's temporary duty. And the real eternal duty is the nature of the soul. And that's why in the Bhakti tradition, we don't look at religion as a particular faith, but we look at it as the nature of the soul. And, you know, Bhakti Prabhupada Thakur, in the beginning of this book, we discussed this. He says a very brilliant thing, that every object has a shakti, a potency, according to how it was created, the essential nature which determines its duty or its use. So we also irreducibly are the soul that's part of God, and our eternal duty is to serve God. And we'll accept any other duties that help us in doing so. But they may be duties according to a particular occasion, but the duty of the soul is just to glorify God and chant the holy name. That's the eternal duty. So he explains this in such a scholarly way that this, and he's now named by the former impersonalist, who's now named Vaishnav Das. He does it in such a brilliant scholarly way, so clear, everything in perfect context, that this Lahari Mahasai, this very aristocratic Brahmin, becomes his disciple. Then he goes back to his home, and he's staying with Madhavadas Babaji, and then he notices at night that Madhavadas is associating with a woman. The Babaji is a renunciate, and he associates with a woman. And then, you know, he's very compassionate, not, you can't say judgmental, but he makes a practical decision that if I stay in such a state, you know, my reputation may be affected. And I don't care about my reputation, what people think about me, but I want to at least project the lifestyle that saintly people will think me worthy for them to spend their time to give me instructions and enlighten me. So he says, better I leave this place at once. And he goes, now he kind of moves into the ashram. And now we're at the point where he's with his guru, Vaishnav. And then he goes into his meditation. And then he tells what is this, he sees a snake, and then he freaks out. And then his guru tells him, if you want to do bhajan, the mind has to be peaceful, and you have to have faith, and you can't be afraid of snakes. And it's the culture in India, I've seen it, that any sadhu or Brahmin is not afraid of snakes. I've seen it. They just say sadhu deke. The snake is seen as sadhu. He knows God is in my heart. He knows, you know, God is in their heart. God is in my heart. Nothing can affect it. Otherwise, you know, because right now they're Babaji's. That means a meditative process. You have to be able to sit and concentrate without any fear. And in all spiritual paths, when you get to the point of meditation, where you can actually practice renunciation and concentration, practice means concentration, that you have to have a certain level of peacefulness to come to. Otherwise, you have to do Kriya Yoga. You have to purify yourself by acting in the world. He's leaving the world. He's coming to the ashram just to sit and chant and meditate. You have to be qualified. We described in the last class the psychological underpinnings, the attachments, the aversions. They have to be subdued. Otherwise, one should not retire to a holy place. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, it recommends that you don't do this because it says, mityachara sa uchate. You're a pretender. You're not qualified. And we've seen this time and time again, that people who try to retire before they are qualified wind up getting entangled again in the material world. So the Gita recommends a safe and active process of devotional service. And devotional service itself is seva. It's service. With buddhi, with consciousness, with intelligence, with understanding. But it's not leaving the world. Anyway, he tells them, you have to be at a certain level. Vaishnav says, and then when bhakti appears in the heart, and you become elevated, and you become dear to all living entities, including the snakes, everyone feels affection for Vaishnavs. And Lahari, you know, he hears, and his faith is awakened. It's a very special thing. I was describing this morning in the class, because it says you can't understand God by mental speculation or direct experience. But then how do you understand God? It's by faith. It's by experience of God to someone who's open-hearted. That supra-sensuous feeling, a religious experience. But as faith is both a faculty of the mind and an energy of God. But as faith, to the extent it's a faculty of the mind, you have to have doubts cleared to experience any object of faith. But when I keep the Krishna consciousness, I thought about it when I was giving class this morning. I thought about it. Well, what was the process? The process was, I opened my mind to something because it appeared reasonable, especially the philosophy was so comprehensive. I developed faith. The intellectual process is to do that. But the real experience is a reciprocation of Krishna. The real faith is a reciprocation of Krishna. And we have philosophy to clear our doubts. That's one of the reasons, to clear our doubts so we can open our heart to it. And if we don't, then we can't experience that energy of God. In Bhagavad Gita, it's so clearly explained. Aham sarvasya prabhagoham atasarvam pavartate iti bhutva pajanti mam buddha bhava. Krishna says, I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service. Buddha bhava. There's some understanding, preliminary understanding, that allows you, gives you faith in devotional service, and then by executing devotional service, tesham satatiyuktanam bhajatam prittipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tvam yingamam upayantite. One who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they come back. So faith is an energy of God that comes to a person who somehow or other is in a situation to receive it. So somehow or other, Lahari Mahasai, his faith in the Nitya Dharma and Bhakti. Bhakti is all faith. Ramanda Brahmate, Konya Bhagavan, Jeev Guru Krishna, Prashadi Bhai, Bhakti Lata Deej. We're wandering in universe and universe, from species of life to species of life, until by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we get to Bhakti Lata Deej, the seed of devotional service. And what is that seed? It's a conception or idea that we have faith in because we experience its application. And then it rests in our heart. And the whole process of, and what it's a faith in, it's the faith in the eternal activity, the eternal energy, the eternal nature, the eternal awakening of the soul, which is to serve God. And when that experience thickens, then we associate with people who serve God. When it thickens more, then we adopt the practices to actually uncover it and experience it even more. And when that faith, it's all the same seed of prema bhakti, love of God. And more, then we become fixed, and more, we get taste. So his faith is awakened, just as our faith awakens. It awakens when we hear, just like Krishna, when the cowherd boys asked him to get food, he said, in the comment, in Sukadeva, he says, thinking of certain devotees. Who's he thinking of? He's thinking of his devotees who have faith. Faith is not different in bhakti than love. And how did the wives of the Brahmins who never met Krishna get faith? Because when they would buy milk, they would buy yogurt, they would buy flowers, they would buy it from the Vrijabhasi, the girls, the gopis who were born in Vrindavan. What would they be doing? They would be talking about Krishna with conviction about his beauty and his charm and his qualities and his form and his pastimes. And from that type of hearing, their faith thickened. So now Vaishnav Das is going to reply to his question, because he wants to learn, he wants his doubts cleared. So he wants to know if this Nitya Dharma, our eternal duty, and Vaishnava Dharma, are they the same thing? Well, the answer is, of course, they're going to be the same thing. Because what is the eternal nature of the soul? Jivera Sarupahoy Krishnera Nitya Das. Is to serve God. So Vaishnava Babaji replied, in this world there are two different dharmas that go by the name of Vaishnava Dharma. So he's going to explain Vaishnava Dharma, what is the duty of a Vaishnava. The first is Shuddha, pure Vaishnava Dharma, and the second is Vidha, adulterated Vaishnava Dharma. So, okay. There's a pure sense and there's a mixed sense. And then he said, although Shuddha Vaishnava Dharma, pure Vaishnava Dharma, is one in principle, it has four divisions according to Rasa. Taste for serving God in a specific loving mood. There is Dasya, servitude, Sakya, friendship, Vatsalya, parental affection, and Madhurya, conjugal love. In reality, Shuddha Vaishnava Dharma is one without a second, is known as Nitya Dharma or Paradharma, the Supreme Dharma. So ultimately, it's one thing. It's Anya Vilashita Shunyam Janaka. It's to serve Krishna without any motive, with the pure intention only to serve him. And because service comes in relationships, we have an eternal relationship with God. Simple, simple point. That love means relationship. If love exists, there must be two. Within the one. And our own experience of that energy of love is that it comes in really mostly four types of deep relationships. But in reality, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the Ladini Samvit Shakti. It's a combination of the pleasure potency and the cognitive potency. We become aware and we experience pleasure in a particular service to God. In relationship. The real service of a friend is friendship. The real service of a conjugal love of others is their conjugal relationship. The real service of a parent is their motherly love for that particular person. To say that in the advanced stage is manifest in relationship with God. And a real devotee develops a sense of his relationship with God. When we want to become devotees, we mean we want a relationship with God. That's what it means. And that's what Krishna consciousness is. Prabhupada gave the definition, the translation of the Sanskrit term. The term Krishna consciousness refers to a Sanskrit term. Prabhupada's brilliant translation of it. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhava Tomati. This is Krishna consciousness. It's the mati. It's the mindset, bhavato, filled with love. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa. Of your particular flavor of relationship with Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means sambandha. It means relationship. And therefore, when Lord Chaitanya told his guru, Ishwarapuri told him that now I'm going to tell you the essence of all the Bhagavatam. And the verse he uses is Evam Vritasa Priya Nama Krita Jitana Raja. And this is the essence of the whole Bhagavatam. Of course, any scripture, the purpose of any scripture is to reveal to you your Ishtadeva. That's why we read the Bhagavatam. It reveals to us our specific relationship with God. It's called your Ishtadeva. So what is the essence of the Bhagavatam? It's to give you your Ishtadeva of Krishna. And the means how to do it. Good philosophy identifies reality, gives a process to understand reality, and gives a description of what that will look like. So in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, reality is Krishna and Krishna's energies. The method of realizing that is bhakti. And the goal is to feel that, and feeling our relationship with that, which is prema, that's the goal. So, Evam Vrita Supriyanama Krita, as Ishwarapuri said, this is the key verse. In this way, without inhibition or attachment, one should chant the names of one's beloved Lord. One should chant the names of one's beloved Lord. That's the essence. Evam Vrita Supriya. Oh, beloved Lord means your sambandha, your relationship with God. So he goes on. And he gives a reference. So the shoot of Dharma is also known as Nitya Dharma. Vaishnava Dharma is also known as Nitya. In the Shruti Shastras, Mandaka Upanishads, we find the following statement. Yad vigyate sarvam idam vigyatam bhavati. Everything becomes known when one clearly understands that supreme truth. Clearly, this statement pertains to Shuddha Vaishnava Dharma. The full import of this will gradually be revealed to you, so this will be explained. There are two types of adulterated Vaishnava Dharma. One is adulterated with karma, karma-vidha, and the other with jnana, jnana-vidha. So vidha means contaminated. So when it's mixed, basically adulterated means mixed with something else. You have jnana mishra bhakti and you have karma mishra bhakti. And karma mishra bhakti is meaning you do karma, you do things according to your desire, and you offer the results to Krishna. But it's mixed with some kind of personal desire or selfishness. We're Shuddha Vaishnava Dharma. Pure Vaishnava Dharma is nothing except love. There's nothing except love. There are two types of adulterated Vaishnava Dharma. One is all the practices that the Orthodox Brahmins
Maharaj, are you there?
I'm still here.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I got off for a second. So now he's going to explain. So sometimes in Jivadharma we just get a little knowledge. So the smart Brahmins, he explains, who uphold, are actually Vaishnava Dharma adulterated with karma. This type of Vaishnava Dharma entails initiation into a Vaishnava mantra, but Vishnu, the all-pervading Lord of the universe, is only treated as a constituent part of the process of karma. So basically, how is it mixed? You're worshipping God. You're worshipping God, but you have some material objective. And you worship God to attain that material objective. And you have an impure conception of Vishnu. In other words, the conception is that karma is not subordinate to the will of Vishnu, but that Vishnu is subordinate to the will of karma. According to this theory, all varieties of worship and spiritual practice, such as upasana, bhajan, and sadhana, are merely parts of karma. This type of Vaishnava dharma was professed by the ancient Mimamsaka philosophers and has been prevalent for a very long time. Many people in India who adhere to this doctrine pride themselves as being Vaishnava, but do not care to accept pure Vaishnavas as Vaishnavas at all. This is a great misfortune. One time I was in a famous astrologer in Jaipur. So, his guru came in, and then the astrologer stopped, and it was like a classic, almost cartoon vision of what is an Indian Brahmin. He was very kind of nice looking, but very heavy set, white kind of cloth, kurta that ties to the side. Long, flowing gray hair. And he had He had jewels on every single finger, counteracting different planets. And when he saw me, he looked at me with disdain and said, "What is the use? What is the worth of your spiritual practices? Just on the, you know, something swati nakshat, and on some astrological calculation, if you do, you know, everything will come." So they believe that karma is supreme, that they execute devotional service, but just as a part to purify themselves. In fact, every other process is dependent on bhakti, because every process is dependent on mercy. And mercy is the love that comes from a superior in relationship. So to get the mercy, to advance, everyone needs to worship to get the mercy, to get something greater than one's own effort. So everything is dependent on bhakti, and bhakti is completely independent of everything. Gyan requires bhakti to be successful. It requires some worship to get some mercy. Karma requires bhakti to be successful. It requires some bhakti, mercy. But bhakti does not require karma and gyan. But pure bhakti means just to love, and that's the point he's going to make. Real bhakti is the only thing in your consciousness is the intention to please God. And that is the purest conception of consciousness, because consciousness reaches its fruition in love. And bhakti, or devotion, tvasmin parama prema rup, it is the form of the highest love, because it is the eternal existential love that's directed to the absolute reality, which is repose to the highest thing. Vaishnav Dharma, adulterated with Gyan, Gyanavida, is also widespread throughout India. According to the school of thought, the supreme truth is the incomprehensible, all-pervasive Brahma. And in order to attain this Nirvishesh Brahma, one should worship Surya, Ganesh, Shakti, Shiva, and Vishnu, who all possess forms. When one's knowledge becomes complete, one can give up the worship of the forms and ultimately attains the state of Nirvishesh Brahma. Many people accept this doctrine and disrespect the pure Vaishnavas. When followers of this Panchaposhana system worship Vishnu, they perform Diksha, Puja, and all the activities of Vishnu, and they may also worship Radha Krishna. Still, it is not Shuddha Vaishnav Dharma, because it's mixed with the conception that in the ultimate reality, there's no distinction. And if in the ultimate reality no distinction exists, then there's no forms that exist. But that's Panchaposhana. They worship Shiva, they worship Lakshmi, they worship Vishnu. They even may concentrate on their worship of Vishnu. But their objective or goal is in their minds to transcend any conception of form. Of course, undifferentiated oneness is kind of a ludicrous philosophy on the basis of you have to explain that everyone's an illusion. You have to explain that everyone's an illusion. In other words, Advaita Vad philosophy believes that in the ultimate reality, there's no individuality, there's no distinction. And distinction is only caused by illusion. So then the natural question comes, what is the basis or source of illusion? What is the basis of illusion? What is being deluded? Because when you say illusion, it implies that there's an object of illusion. That implies that there's a an individual viewer. So then they have to say that the jiva is an illusion. The basis of illusion is the jiva. But how can you say that? Because according to that impersonalist Advaitavad philosophy, the jiva itself is an illusion because it's distinction. The jiva itself is illusion. So how can that be the basis of illusion? And you have to say Brahman is the basis of illusion. But if Brahman is an illusion, then it can't be Brahman the greatest. And also you're talking about two things. You're talking about Brahman and illusion. So it's already not a differentiated oneness. And if we become liberated, then everyone should become liberated. Because there's only one soul. So if one soul, if you become liberated, everyone should become liberated. But that doesn't happen. The Shuddha Vaishnav Dharma that comes when one eliminates ill-gutted form is true Vaishnav Dharma. So true Vaishnav Dharma is free from karma, material desire, and gyan, desire for liberation. Due to the influence of the age of Kali, most people cannot understand what pure Vaishnav Dharma is, and they accept the various adulterated forms as true Vaishnav Dharma. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, human beings display three different tendencies with regard to the absolute truth. The tendency towards all-pervading Brahman, Brahma Pravitti, the tendency towards the supreme Atman in the heart, known as Paramatma, Paramatma Pravitti, and the tendency towards the supreme person, Bhagavan, Bhagavan Pravitti. The Brahma Pravitti inspires some people with ruchi for worshipping. Indefinite, featureless, nirvishesha Brahma is the ultimate principle. The method they adopt in order to attain this indeterminate state is known as Panchaposha. I'm going to have to stop today. I'm going to have questions or people say hello. Again, completely fatigued, so practically I'm sleeping and giving the class at the same time. Anybody like to ask some questions or say hello? Hi, Ron. Someone can say hello.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Golden Bhakti. Hi, Krishna.
Who's that? Who's that?
Oh, Gail is one person on it.
What?
This is Gail, and is it Govardhan Bhakta Prabhu?
Yes, Mataji.
Oh.
Hey, who else is there?
This is Nanda Dulal.
Oh, Nanda Dulal.
Nanda Dulal?
Okay, Nanda Dulal. Who else is on? Anybody else today?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Govardhan.
Can I ask a question from last class?
Sure.
Yeah, in the last class, what's his name? Mahanidhi Mahasai, what's his name? He was...
Yeah.
He was saying that, people who were of that elevation, they can do bhajan in the cave with ferocious animals around or something.
Yeah.
And you were saying that because animals do not have free will, or their free will is... Yeah, because they don't have free will, they don't influence our consciousness as much, if we are in their association. Anyway, so I was just wondering.
Anyway, let me repeat your question, because your question is why.
What does free will have to do with
why did he say he would rather be with wild animals than, you know, envious human beings or something like that, right?
Well, you had said that, you know, if the animals, since the animals don't have free will, they don't impact the consciousness as much as envious human beings. And so I'm just wondering why free will is the fact.
Maybe it's just that we don't relate with animals, but we relate to human beings. So they're in that relationship, they have more access to our hearts and minds.
Yes.
So obviously they influence us more.
And
even the sense that they're similar to us, and they may do things that we also can do. You don't become envious or desirous of what an animal does. In that sense. Okay?
Yeah. Can I just ask one more? Also, that same personality, you know, he had gone to live with Vaishnav Das because he didn't want to associate with that Madhava. I think his name was Madhava. He had fallen from family life and so on. But you know, with that particular person, Madhava, you know, you had said that it was his wife who was stalking him. It's not that he wanted to associate, you know. So why was his, you know, he wasn't pursuing that. It was his wife who was
His wife may have pursued it, but he became somewhat influenced and attached.
Mm.
You know, maybe it was just a test and he had to just cut it off, you know. But somehow she was successful.
Mm.
And in those cultures, they were much more strict. He mentioned Shota Haridas.
Mm-hmm.
Shota Haridas just begged rice from this advanced devotee. She was elderly. And Lord Chaitanya banned her from his association.
Mm-hmm.
So they had that prophet said, we can't be sannyasis like the days of yore. We just have to avoid, you know, too much social intercourse. So, you know, there was a very high standard and stricture. The society was very, you know, like right now, you know, there's no divorce. You know, they had so many different strictures that people followed. So it was a big thing. You know, the sannyasi wouldn't go back to his own village. It was against the laws of sannyas. So they had different strictures. Okay, Gail, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Maharaj, are you Hari?
I'm not Hari. I'm just going to probably fall asleep in 2 minutes, but as long as I'm up.
Oh, sorry, I have a small question, Maharaj. If you have, otherwise I'll call you. Last Sunday I tried to contact, but this number didn't go. Anyway, Maharaj, we are sadhaka bhakti. We are trying our best in the present situation. Now, Krishna promises in the Chaturshruti Bhagavat, Teshang Anukampartam, Ahamad Ganadimtam, Nashayami Atma Bhavast Genudipena Bhashta. So, we don't have any knowledge or anything. When does Krishna give that mercy, Anukampartam, when he told, you know, he removes the ignorance by the shining, you know, lamp?
Well, it's, you know, when one, you know, what is bhakti? Bhakti is not a mechanical means. But still, the practices that we do, they're an expression of our need. And and that quality of need attracts God's mercy because he's kind. So when one is actually engaged in devotional service and opening his heart to the will of God, then God reciprocates. Nityo, nityanam, chaitanya, chaitanam. God does not have the defect of impersonality. There's one supreme eternal and there's many supreme eternals. Chaitanya, there's one supreme force, there's many supreme forces. But the one, Eko Bhagavanya, the one is maintaining the many.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Okay, anybody else say hello? Anybody else like to say hello? Okay.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Bianca.
Bianca! Whoa, wonderful. Thank you, Bianca. Great.
Good evening.
I just want to say hi. Good, good. I'm glad that you're able to listen to the class, and glad we can still keep connection and hear. Because that Bhakti immersion retreat is quite a wonderful experience, okay?
Amazing, absolutely. But I'll be in touch.
Keep in touch. We'll keep in touch. Maybe next week or something we can talk, okay?
Okay, very good.
Okay, anybody else? Thank you.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Gordon Bhaktadas.
Hare Bhav. Anybody else? Vanshakalpa Dhrivya Sakha Pisanga Vedajam.